Blog Talk Radio.
Another Norman Knight coming to you live from Bowie, Maryland. It's 9 o'clock and it's Tuesday, and that means it's Norman Knight. And I'm glad to have you with me tonight. The topic, wow. Well, the topic is outer space and what's out there. Now, how did this come about? Well, it came about because I went to a museum yesterday that was really pretty incredible. I went to see the Smithsonian Air and Space Museum's annex out near Dulles Airport, and essentially, I saw the history of aviation paraded before me. I mean, it came from the Wright brothers, and I've since learned that it wasn't the actual Kitty Hawk, though I thought it was, to the space shuttle Discovery. I mean, there it was. The Space Shuttle Discovery. I was standing right next to it. It was a most incredible sight. It just knocked my socks off. And I realized that the kids who went out there with us, they were never even alive when there was no space shuttle. The space shuttle has always been a part of their existence, and that was incredible to me. I was born in 1950. I mean, there barely were jet airplanes, let alone reusable spaceships. I remember when Sputnik went up and how it scared the heck out of us here in the United States. Then when the space satellite Discoverer was sent up by the United States, wow, the space race was on. And Jack Kennedy said that the United States was going to get on the moon. And that was a pretty incredible thing, too. And that we would have an internet. And I had been saying until yesterday, that the internet was far more important than putting a man on the moon. Wow. After standing next to this Space Shuttle Discovery, I'm not sure. And I mean, we lost two of those ships, one in flight, one on the pad, if my memory serves me right. And that was a very sad state of affairs. But yet we persevered. We moved on. We started to escape this tiny little closed space that we live in. And the human spirit has always reached out for more. First, we walked across land. Then we sailed across unknown oceans, continually expanding our consciousness. And finally, we left the ground and flew. Then we left the atmosphere. Then we completely left the gravitational pull of the planet. Then we circled the planet. Then we broke out of the gravitational pull of the planet and went to the moon. And most importantly, we came back. A pretty amazing thing. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. I'm Norman Knight. Outer space, flying, human beings and what we do to each other. 7977, welcome to the chat room. If you got something you'd like to say about space, aviation, please go right ahead. Because we'd love to hear it. If you want to call in, people, 347-945-6713. That's the call-in number. You know, when I was at that museum yesterday, I'm standing there and I'm thinking, my gosh, everything here, all of these different aircraft were built by human beings. And one of the things that really disturbed me was that most of these aircraft were indeed machines of war. They were the death machines of the 20th century. You know, from the biplanes of World War I, to the bombers of World War II. I mean, right there hanging from the ceiling of this building in Virginia is the Enola Gay, the four-engine monster that dropped the bomb that killed hundreds of thousands of people in a split second. That thought was sobering. You know, I stood there wondering, what does a Japanese person feel when they look at the Enola Gay? I don't know. Does Pearl Harbor justify dropping that atomic bomb? I'm not getting into that question, but if you want to discuss it, 347-945-6713, and I'll be glad to talk about it with you. I'll talk about anything with you. You want to talk about anything else? But to make those airplanes, to create them, and plus, I mean, rather than all my just my yappity yappity yapping, you need to get out and go to that museum. It's a pretty incredible place. But, you know, I think of climate change and all the things that are happening under the planet and the way that we're destroying the planet, according to some people. I got some text messages this morning. The Great Lakes, a place that is close and dear to my heart because I grew up there. I swam in Lake Erie for most of my life. Well, at least most of my early life. And it was an incredible experience, the Great Lakes. And sure enough, oil and natural gas drilling, very likely to change the environment of the Great Lakes forever, according to my energy policy friends who were giving me some text this morning. I mean, I don't know what the answer is to any of these questions. Hey, 7977, what do you think about it? Don't just sit there listening to me. Contribute to the conversation. I mean, I may be saying some things that are completely off base. All I can say is more power to the person that organized that trip yesterday, because it was a pretty amazing thing. It was a real opportunity for teaching and learning on everyone's part. You know, they say that learning, when you learn something, your behavior changed. I learned a lot of things yesterday at that aviation museum, and I think my behavior will be changed forever. And that is a wonderful thing. And I hope that it somehow left some kind of impression in those young people's minds about the possibilities that they have. You know, a colleague's been giving me a hard time about how we use calculators all the time, and I always just was blowing it off and thinking, who cares, you know, and well, in the flight simulators yesterday at the museum, there was no time to punch things into a calculator. No time at all. And I can still remember, I tell people this all the time, the radar intercept instructor at Pensacola saying, just remember, that Russian does his intercepts faster than you. You're dead. No calculators at 700 knots and 40,000 feet. Slam, bam, get it done. Anyway, I got a guest logged in, and, you know, if you want to talk, please come on, give us a shout. Hey, one thing that is really pretty cool. It looks like we've got about, I don't know, 6,000 of the first, of the second 100,000 in Norm at Night. Yeah, we're over the 100,000 mark, and we're, audience share, although it was down a little bit for a few months, is now shooting back up. June was a very good month. I hope that we have an equally good month in July. In fact, I hope it gets a little better. But the graph is on the upswing again, and that makes me feel pretty good. Apparently, the Living Life series went over very well. Things are spreading across the internet, and I'm happy to hear that. I hope to spend some time this summer trying to think of ways to use a Blog Talk Radio kind of thing in the learning environments where I'm engaged in. I don't know. There's just, I got some kind of formal bone missing from me. I just like to be in a room and tell stories. That's what teaching's all about. You know, and maybe I'm lucky. Maybe I'm just a natural storyteller. But that's how you learn things. People watch you do things. That's how they learn things. Well, one of the things I can do, the value of reading. But that's a whole other topic. Come on, somebody give me a call. 347-945-6713. You know, so that we can talk about some of these ideas. Well, let's take a little break from outer space for a while. And let me see if what's going on in the world. You know, I'll tell you one way, though, while I'm trying to get this information up. How did that happen? One of the things that is happening is, oh no, don't tell me, what have I done? Have I? Oh gosh, I don't know what I have done. Son of a gun. Oh, there we go. 7977, you're still with me. Let me go to the new tab. I don't want to go to Norm at Night again on the new tab. I want to go to... What is... You know, sometimes I just don't know what I'm doing. But that's okay. There we go. Let's see. Oh. Apparently things are getting pretty ugly in Egypt. The protesters are getting more violent every day. Oh, my God, apparently everybody's afraid to give Snowden asylum. Apparently, a Bolivian plane was rerouted because they thought he was on it. Oh, God, everybody, let's give a few minutes for those poor firefighters who died in that wildfire, 19 of them between the ages of 21 and 43. That made me, that made me feel pretty bad. Anyway, those wildfires just keep spreading. Oh my gosh. Oh yeah, 8-year-old governor for a day, hot dog. I don't know. Does anybody want to? Let's see what's. I've got no calls. I got one guest in the guest room. I don't know. Maybe I should just shut down the show and watch Rizzoli and Isles for at least the last half hour of it. We're about 20 minutes in. I got one guest. It really was a great day yesterday, and I just can't tell you what it was like to see all of those airplanes, things that I grew up with, models that I built. I remember I made a model of a Lightning. Great fighter. There it was, sitting right there. Hey, I guess 9005 came, but just left really quickly. I guess he wasn't interested in a P-38 Lightning. Oh, well, not much I can do about that. Hey, remember earlier on I was telling you about the guy who sent me the text messages about how my Great Lakes were going to be ruined, and he just came into the chat room. It'd be fun if I could get him to call in and let us know about that. But, I'm sorry, the climate stuff. Standing next to that space shuttle yesterday and thinking about the human power that that represents just made all that climate control stuff seem so insignificant. Are we pinned on this planet forever? Or can we go? Can we fly? Can we seek to be free? I don't know the answer. I know when I was a kid, I liked sitting there and making rockets and trying to send things up in the air and trying to fly model airplanes. Hey, I got a call coming. Oh, gosh, I recognize this area code. Hey, go ahead. You're on with Norm at Night.
How you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing pretty well. I don't know if you've been listening.
Oh, yeah, I caught a bit,
I just had a great day. I stood next to the space shuttle yesterday.
Oh, cool.
That was it was more than cool. It was more than cool. All
Yeah,
this crap. That's where we need to be spending our money. We need to keep going to the stars. The whole history of aviation was laid out in front of me. It was absolutely marvelous.
Oh, great.
I
Yeah, I
wondered,
know
I'm
the.
standing there. I'm standing there on this shelf, and I'm looking down into the Bombay or the Bombardier's window in the Enola Gay, and I'm wondering, what does that guy think when he presses the button?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, 200,000
Yeah.
lives eliminated in a split second.
Yeah,
That
I'm
is
not.
pretty.
I have no idea of what, and I don't think I want to know what that feels like, so, nah.
Well, I think we
But.
all should know so that maybe we don't do it again. Or what does the guy feel like who slides the sarin tablets into the shower heads?
Oh, well, yeah. Well, I don't know that, I mean, it's a larger scale, but at the same time, would it be any different from going into a battle? I mean, it's pretty much the same.
I don't know. Well, I guess what I wonder about the guy in the Enola Gay, well, first of all, he did it twice. The same plane delivered the second bomb, right?
Well, the thing, I'm sure there was plenty of preparation, psychological preparation, we call it that,
Yeah, but how could there be? Nobody knew what was going to happen.
Well, they had tested bombs prior to that.
Yeah, but they weren't even, my understanding, they weren't even sure it was going to work.
Yeah, well.
Because a lot of the tests didn't.
Yeah. But I mean, whatever. Okay, so let's just deal with the probability. You know, I don't know how else to pursue it.
Well, I don't know, but when you saw that airplane there, it just put a whole different perspective on it.
Uh-huh.
And just the engineering feat of hanging a B-29 from the ceiling.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm sure that.
And then they had this great, great picture of it. I don't know how, if somebody had a crawl in it while it was hanging from the ceiling, because the picture is from the inside of the plane out at the walkway in the museum.
Hmm.
It was pretty interesting. It was, oh, what a great museum. I mean, you could stand next to the Kitty Hawk and the Space Shuttle Discovery.
Jeez.
I mean, you could go through essentially 100 years of aviation history. And the other thing that just, I don't know, I guess I'm just essentially a big piece, Nick, because it really, of all the aircraft that are there, almost 90% of them are war machines.
Yeah.
I mean, from World War I, where they used to drop the bombs out by hand.
Yeah, yeah.
To the Enola Gay.
Well, figure it out. I mean, who's got the money to buy all this stuff and develop the technology, you know? Private industry does some, but when we're talking new technology, no offense,
I mean, and, yeah, I don't want people to die, but Mr. President, bring the money home. Start spending it on the space program again.
Well, among other things, yeah.
And I'm tired of hearing all these people say our education system sucks and Americans are this, that, and the other thing. Go look in that museum. We built all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's no finished space shuttle. And it's things outer space may be what's going to save us. We may destroy this planet and have to go somewhere else.
Oh, well, that's the topic of a lot of probably 50% of our science fiction, huh?
I bet it's more than that, actually.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Mm.
So, hey, everybody out there, come on, give us a call, 347-945-6713. And I know you're in the chat room because I can see on my screen here all you environmental policy wumps. Tell us why we should be spending money on climate change and not about space exploration.
Yeah. Well, there is a shift going on now that is still, just beginning, but people are beginning to see that you have to prepare for the change since you clearly are not going to stop the change. It'll be centuries from now.
My environmental policy wonk is typing. Something's coming here.
Yeah, well. And by that, I mean we are doing what? We are building dams around Manhattan, or at least that's what they want to do, and the Jersey Shore. We can go on and on with all that stuff. If you'd really
Wait a minute here. I don't know. I'm listening. I don't know because there are 7 billion people rather than spending it on your whim. My whim. Why is it a whim to want to go to Mars? Was it a whim for Columbus to want to find India? Was it a whim for Marco Polo to walk across Asia? Is that a whim? Holy cow. Oh, you have really, you didn't stand there next to that space shuttle yesterday. Wait a minute, NASA is one of the worst managed corporations in the world. Yeah, well, how many other rockets have ever gone anywhere? Except from that other horribly managed socialist place. It was a whim to go to the... Oh, and it was a whim to go to the moon. A whim, somebody in my chat room says. I used to actually agree with that until I stood there next to the space shuttle.
Mm-hmm.
It really isn't a good idea.
I wouldn't call that moon. The moon was a different thing. I mean, okay, we could talk about national pride and all the rest of it. If we talk about Tang, which I understand the astronauts hated that stuff. But
I don't know
what
it is.
You know,
wait a minute. Really, Norm? Virgin space shuttles? Oh, man. Why don't you get it? You want to fight space? Why don't you just dial 347-945-6713 and we'll talk space? Yes, we will. In fact, I would love to talk space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do we do it? How do we travel the speed of light? They're not going to figure that out in Finland, I'll tell you that. They'll take you out there for $1 million.
Oh, well,
let's take us all out there, SpaceX. You know, let's see if they can build a space shuttle in Finland with their wonderful school system.
Oh, boy.
I mean, you stand there and you see this stuff. Although the thing that did kind of disturb me, it wasn't as impressive for some of the kids we took as it was for me. That sort of really depresses me. They don't want to play with stuff.
Yeah. You mean if it's not on a video screen and... no interest, huh?
I don't think it's that simple. I'm trying to remember... When I was a kid, why I wanted to make rockets and just send them up in the sky.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, I remember I did the same thing, you know, but...
Why I wanted to build models.
Yeah, it's true. Those are big.
You know, and not now so much. Oh, God, if I would... They had this... beautiful model of, you know, the Boeing, I don't know if it's a 747 or what it is, the thing they fly the shuttles around the country on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, they had a big model. I would accept it was $80. That's pretty expensive.
Excuse me. Yeah, I haven't been doing good these last few days. This heat's just knocked me out. I get dehydrated and I don't realize it, and then, you know, things start shutting down in your body and you can't eat anything.
Yeah, when you suddenly say, "Oh my God, I'm thirsty," it's too late.
Yeah, yeah. So I only go out for short periods of time, and then I get back in the house here. Well, I'm going to hang my My electric bill is going to be ugly. I know that.
God, it's still daylight out there, right? It's only about 6:30.
Yeah, we got another 2.5 hours of light.
I know is I got re-energized about what the American education system used to be like, seeing all those airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what are we gonna see tomorrow?
I don't know. You can. That's what field trips are for, right?
Well, that's what I think. But the only person who's getting excited by it are the teachers. Something's not right.
Well, so they looked at all this stuff and it was just,
Well, they would go to the gift shop.
Oh, the gift shop. All right. Okay.
Although I wanted to do that too when I was a kid. I'm not going to.
Yeah.
No, actually, some of the kids, I'd rather run around outside than watch these. Okay. You know, there's the history of the 20th century, right? Hanging from the ceiling.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously, I'm probably over-gushing.
Yeah. Well, consider, too, you know the history, right? And they probably don't really, you know, they have some idea, but not, they don't appreciate it the way we do, you know. I think
time. Yeah, but I knew through World War II when I was in the eighth grade.
Yeah, well.
And I wanted to know about it.
But for us, it was a fairly recent event. I mean, we had uncles and people all around who were there, you know.
That's true, telling us about what it was. But, the other thing, you know, I was telling a couple of the kids, you know, the daylight bombing raids over Germany, they'd send 100 B-17s, 20 come back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was pretty brutal.
Yes, I remember the British didn't want to do that at all. In fact, they didn't. They did the night raids and gave us the day. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, over time, eventually there wasn't much defense left at all, you know. And then they ran out of targets, you know, so it was like...
Yeah, they blown everything up. So let's just firebomb Dresden.
Yeah, they went after little towns with, you know, 6,000, 10,000 people. No military anywhere near.
Tokyo to the ground 3 times. How is that any different than a concentration camp?
You can leave. That's one's a big difference, huh?
Yeah, right. Once the firebombing starts.
But that's the thing with Tokyo, I mean, and all the older parts of the European cities, they were all wood, and it was old. It was going to burn hot.
And it did burn.
Yeah, I mean, but you know,
Europe's Civil War.
Yeah, the British figured that out, though, in their own, in London, because nobody knew about that effect. You know, with the wind and the fire swirling around the streets and doing all that sort of thing. They discovered it when they got bombed and said, hey, this works. A combination of incendiaries and explosives, and you take out an enormous portion of the city. I mean, it's terribly cruel and inhuman, but that's war. What the hell?
Yeah, so. That's war. Let's just kill each other. And then two old men can talk about it on an internet radio show in the middle of the night.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, Jesus. Hey, did you hear that they thought that Mr. Snowden was on the Bolivian president's airplane, and so the French wouldn't let it fly across French airspace?
Oh, is that how it got turned around? I wondered. Because,
yes.
Well, I'm always wondering, too, how they found out that he might be there. You know, it's... Because then they landed in Austria, I thought.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, I just caught a real brief thing on the news here, but I don't think he was on it. So.
Right, I thought he now is going to stay in Russia.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, this thing is really, the U.S. is playing hardball. I mean, they want this dude, and they want to try him, and whatever. As far as they're concerned, he is a traitor, spy, whatever you want to call him. So.
Well, I hope they don't ever put it to a vote in the country, because I don't think they'll win.
Yeah. Well, given the nature of the things he disclosed, I don't know why, but it came as a very big surprise to a lot of people. I mean,
not
we always knew. Well, we knew there was the data mining and this and that, but this large scale thing where you don't have any, you know, they couldn't possibly have that many millions of court orders, you know. So, but you know, I was starting
grabbing everything.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was starting to think.
You know, it's like a giant gill net, and it catches sea turtles.
Yeah. But I was starting to think, I mean, you know, data mining and all that sort of thing has been going on for quite a while. But I've had the feeling that as these programs get more sophisticated, that this will enter the commercial sector as well.
Well, there's a great article. I don't know, it's got to be still the last issue of Foreign Affairs about big data.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just scary because what the basic premise of big data is you don't have to have good samples anymore because
mm-hmm.
you just have so much data, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And they're just collecting big data everywhere.
Well, I'm looking at, you know, I mean, they're, let's say, very specialized stuff. Let's say I'm an automobile insurer, and I want to target my at-risk drivers. I want to either jack their rates up or get rid of them. Now, if I have access to something like any of the social networks, kids are always on there and go, oh, I got so wasted last night, or I did this, or I did that, whatever. Any of your bad habits, right? You collect all this, and before you know it, you'll be able to pinpoint some of these folks. They'll never know how you got that information. another would be the DMV. You want to know who drives fast, who drinks and drives, who's a marijuana patient. Well, again, all of that, you know, is conceivably accessible and can be broken down. And we can go on and on. I mean, health insurers would be another good one. They would know who the sick people are. So, I don't know. But I'm just thinking that this thing isn't going to shrink or be managed or, you know, this thing is going to grow. And it'll I'm thinking within 10 years, geez, you know, our lives will be an open book. They'll have it all.
Totalitarianism at its best.
Yeah. You know.
The totalitarian state perfected.
Yep. Well,
controlling every aspect of your life. Of your life.
Yeah, I mean, you know. And, I mean, there are a lot of ways to control people without having police on every corner. You aren't going to need that, you know.
Yeah, but they have that, too.
Well, we do, yeah. There's a book I didn't finish the review on it. Fairly recent. And it was about the militarization of the American police.
Yeah, I've heard of that, and I don't have it or read it, but I know the book you're speaking of.
Yeah, I think, you know, every now and then I'm looking through Amazon for something to read and whatever, and recommended reading comes up, and that one popped up in there, so. See, I'll have to go back. I've had computer problems all day, so.
You have?
Yeah, I think it has to do with
the rain?
No, I think it has to do with Microsoft. Serious digging in registries and whatever, and I fortunately found a guy who had my problem and was able to, you know, not only write it, but with graphics. And I'm so grateful when people do that. Because then I got one screen open here, one screen over there, and I just follow it. There we go. So, but I couldn't play any video anywhere. It was brutal. That had to do with their, what do they call that thing? Silver light?
So, yes, silver. It's not silver light. It's silver, not thorn. Maybe it is silver light.
Yeah,
But
my Adobe Flash player was crashing all the time, too. And I'm like, hey, you know.
Everybody's having a lot of trouble with Adobe Flash lately.
I'm not 100% sure why. Yeah,
if anybody out there knows, it's 347-945-6713. Or if you ever want to just send me an email about it, send it to buffnet@verizon.net, and I'll make sure whatever you tell us gets out on the show.
Yeah. Because, you know, with my computers, you know, if I can't fix them, then hell with it. I get a new one. That's the way that is. And they're
right.
Out,
you know, by the time you fix them or take them over to one of those places, you might as well just throw it away and buy a new one.
Yeah. So, because I mean, I was looking, you know, I was looking at some of the stuff on sale here. they're way cheap. You know, I mean, if you want like a Google Chrome book for what, $250 or something.
If that.
Because
now everything's in the cloud. All you need is your telephone. Your telephone will suffice if you can cope with the small screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't. You know, I don't have any cloud accounts at all. I did ages ago. AOL had something out there where they gave you like an enormous amount of storage space. And I actually used it, and I put all my photos up there, music, this, that, blah, blah, blah. And then gave the name and password to, you know, like my sister and a few other folks and that. And it became a nice place where we could share stuff and, you know, but I don't think it lasted more than 6 months. But now, I mean, it's exactly the same concept, except there was no software on it. See, that's the big thing now.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then, you know, again, you know, for large databases that are organized and all that sort of thing. Well, you know, we didn't have that back then either. But I don't, this whole cloud thing, is this really done a lot? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, like all the big school databases, you know, like Blackboard, and even they're all going to the cloud. Everything's done in the cloud.
Yeah.
Google Apps is all cloud.
Yeah.
You know, school emails, it's all, you know, let Google worry about the servers.
Well, I know, but I mean, but when I drive by the cloud, which I have, or at least a portion of the Yahoo cloud, I think it was, yeah, it's just big warehouses, you know?
It's just big warehouses.
That's what it is, you know.
You know, they have all the data anyway, so who cares if it's on their server?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I'm still old school enough to where I want, you know, my my 500 gigs or my terabyte hard drive. I want it.
Why?
Because I take a lot of pictures. And I want them accessible locally, you know.
They're always accessible. Well.
Gotta have that Wi-Fi.
Yeah, you gotta have that Wi-Fi. Well, I mean, besides revitalizing the space program, we should be making every square inch of this country Wi-Fi accessible.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I think
every
Google
square inch.
I think Google's working on it, aren't they? It seems like if anybody does it, they will do it. But it's I don't know what the plan is. They seem to be just going to random places and setting these things up. But now we're talking, are we talking mostly satellites here with them?
No, because there's, the problem still with satellites is the upload.
Mm-hmm.
You got no problem getting a signal from the satellite, but you don't think you're going to send your signal back.
Hmm.
It's still got to go to a cell tower. It's still got to go to a central supplier, and it's still got to go up to the satellite. And you need big juice to get the signal to a satellite.
Yeah, that's pretty much true, huh?
And so, yeah, if you want everybody to just sit here like big dodos, I guess satellite could be the answer and the way things are. But it's the same thing that happened to radio. Went from a two-way medium to a one-way medium. Everybody's got receivers. Nobody's got transmitters. Nobody thinks about that. You know, ham radio operators, they're like kooks. They're wackos.
Well, I don't know. I've got one of my neighbors, I don't know him very well, but he's got a big old antenna.
But what I mean is they're the exception rather than the general one. The same thing's happening to the internet. Thank God for YouTube. It may have saved us.
YouTube?
Yeah.
Well, YouTube is evolving in ways that I never thought. I mean, YouTube is going to be the online classroom. Hell yes. Do you know how much is on there? I find it, and it's unreal. But now they're starting to really organize it. And the other, and schools are participating. So in other words, they'll be uploading their stuff. And, you know, then you can subscribe.
Schools are just finished.
Oh. I don't know. I mean, I will still watch. There are lectures there that I watch just because I enjoy learning something new, or I just
like
the topic.
That's
right. You know?
That's how we learned to learn.
Right, right.
People aren't learning to learn that way anymore.
Mm.
I don't believe.
Yeah, I, you know, so I don't have much contact with, like, I don't know, school-age kids or whatever. You know, most of my nieces and nephews are already done with school.
Have much contact with grown-ups.
Yeah, but see, I don't know how they think now or what they're, you know, really interested in.
Sometimes I wonder if they do think. They do. I'm just teasing there.
Yeah,
that's
my
tongue firmly in cheek out there in
Never. Yeah, well, I guess we haven't medicated all of them yet, so, you know. I wonder truly.
I'm having trouble figuring out sometimes. I watch kids watch stuff that has absolutely no effect on me, and they laugh till they cry, and I don't understand.
Hmm.
I don't understand what people think is funny nowadays.
Oh, yeah. Well,
but then, of course, I never understood Mad Magazine, so.
Oh, I love Mad Magazine. Look up a comedian named Mitch Hedman.
I know that name.
Right. Now, his humor is in a very special place. And I know people can listen to him and not get a single joke. On the other hand, you know, it's sort of in the, in the drug joke type genre.
Mm-hmm.
Things that, when you're high, it's funny, and if you're not, it isn't, you know. And there's music like that, too, you know. But he puts that together so well, and he just stands there and waits. And sometimes he has the jokes written on paper, and he just reads them. But I forget what, I think he had a heart attack or something. He died very young.
Mm-hmm.
But,
so did Lenny Bruce.
Yeah, well, you know, he was harassed to death.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. But anyway, you know, but that...
Who is the guy that, who played him in the one-man show?
Dustin Hoffman played him in a movie.
No, this was a guy who went around being Lenny Bruce.
Oh, okay.
Because he came to the college.
Hmm.
I don't remember. Hey, Jimmy Lee, welcome to the Norman Knight chat room.
Yeah.
Got here a little late, but late is better than not. Come next week.
Yeah.
We're in the last minute here, so whatever you got to say, say it now.
Me?
All I am going to say is, if you're in the Washington, D.C. area, get yourself out to the Air and Space Museum Annex and see those aircraft. Oh, and there's a Concorde in that hangar, too. It's astounding.
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
Amazing.
You know,
now, are those still
Dream in D.C., and then... Pâté Froid in Paris for lunch.
Yeah, now, are those still flying or no?
No, they're done.
Yeah, because I knew there were numerous problems there. And then
anyway, we're in the last 25 seconds, so I am going to say, this is another Norm at Night. Go see the space shuttle. Go see the other aircraft. And think big. Have some ideas, people. And remember, no space shuttle in Finland when you start talking about school systems.
Okay,
and we'll
man.
See you. We're out of here. That's
take
the
care,
end. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Good night.
Good night.